Yeah, I'm gonna record. Okay, so welcome everybody to Westside Sephardic Synagogue, in particular to the home of the Wazanas. Noemi and Sasha, thank you guys for hosting.
Thank you.
This is really a very special pleasure. We've been studying. This is the third part of the series on Rabbi David Buzaglu, the great Moroccan Faitan of the 20th century. And lo and behold, we have the son of Rabbi David Buzaglu, Dr. Meir Buzaglu, who does two very interesting things. He's very connected to the Sephardi world and Piyut and Tarbut, and he'll speak about it a little bit. He's also a professor of mathematics and philosophy at Hebrew U. So it's really a pleasure to have you here. And he's going to say a word or two. We're going to sing a little bit as well. One of the Piyutim, we're going to be David Buzaglu. We're going to watch, and then we're going to discuss. So we have an exciting night ahead.
תודה רבה, ברוכים הנמצאים. I'm very, very... Hebrew, English...
Okay.
So I'm very, very happy to be here, really. I've been to New York several times, but this time is very special to me because of this connection. That is very meaningful to me. Just to give you the context of this film. For many years, I was approached by producers, maybe, can we make a film about your father? I was not sure that I can, you know, give it to someone who is not really has this sensitivity and know how to make it accessible to others and things like that. So I refrained and I didn't like the idea. But what was the context? The context was this. We had a series of paper money, shtarot. Yes, of paper money in Israel that was issued, and there was a committee, and they put on these the faces of this paper money. All of them were Ashkenazim. All of the poets there were only Ashkenazim. You had Bialik, all of them, okay, Chernyakhovsky and Alterman and Dea Goldberg. All these great Ashkenazi poets, but. Someone came and asked, look, why there is not a single Sephardi Meshorer? Okay, so one woman came out, Sari Raz, well known in all this culture in Israel, but not as a very interesting figure, but she's there in the business, okay? And she said, there is no Meshorer Sephardi. There is no Paitan, there is no Sephardi Meshorer, there is no Sephardi poet. Okay, of course, in the days of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and Gibber, but contemporary poets, there is none. And then there was a strong reaction. And all over Israel and the Facebook and the media, we had these bills, these shtarot, with the picture of my father on them. Yes, and there are many. It's an industry. See, you can find it if you just put it in the Google. You will find this shtarot, okay? And Yair Kedar, the producer of this film, I'm just giving you the context, okay? So he heard about this idea, and he himself has a series on Israeli poets. So he made already a film about Bialik. He made a film about, not only poets, about Brenner also. And he realized that here there is a great chance that he will do something. And then, what came up from all these Me'azet Samatok, okay? We have this, the idea, and we have this film by Rafael Balulu, which is really, you will see, okay? You will see by yourself. So I think this is just the context of the film, but what I think we should do if Sasha will sing for us something that is related to my father. We are living Hanukkah. The light of Hanukkah was very warm with the Rosh Chodesh, with the Shabbat, and it becomes a little bit chilly. Okay?
It's not so chilly outside.
But you know, for us, you know, spirit needs something, okay? As Rabbi Etan Ben David said in his drasha, this is a good way to go out from this very, very special day.
So what are we going to sing? Tell us what we're going to sing.
I think Amnei Emanah is still related to Hanukkah.
Nachon, it's a piyut. Who wrote the piyut?
My friend,
yeah. It's about Hanukkah, so it's perfect time.
אז תודה רבה, ושבאמת בעזרת השם ככה שיהיה לעילוי נשמתו של אבא, לבריאות של המשפחה, לברכה במשפחה, לברכה של כל הקהילה, של כל הקהילה בכל ניו יורק, יהודים ולא יהודים כולם, בעזרת השם, שבעזרת השם גם תגיע לנסיעה טובה בחזרה מחר.
By listening to Emil Zrien,
okay.
Who knows a lot of Putin from your father, but a lot of Putin from your father, they are not in all the books. So this one, for instance, it's in this encyclopedia of books, okay. But in the regular books, you can't find this Putin.
Well, it's also on Pute.org. You guys, everyone know what Pute.org is? This is a website, Invitation to Pute in English, which has a collection of thousands of Pute team. And you can listen to it, an Egyptian version, a Moroccan version, a Tunisian version. If you really want to listen to the Tunisian version, I don't know why any person would, but if you want to listen to Iraqi version, all these different versions, you can listen to, and you can read about the Pew team, Iyun, Pshat, it's really, and this is one of them.
So,
let's,
I'm going to do the first verse?
Yeah, the first, yes.
Okay. And then you can translate.
How are you called?
I'm the Manai.
My faithful people. The faithful people. I'm Israel.
So do like this. In the time of Matityahu, of course, was the father of the Hashmonaim, Zakeim, the old man, Yididka, the friend of Hashem. Rav Alidiyah, Hakad Son Yado. Rav Alidiyah is a man of action, right? Did I get that right? Hakad Son Yado, he remembered the flock
the flock of the Am Yisrael, the lost flock, Banav Chanichav, his children, his Chanichav are his, it's like a word that's used by Avraham, when Avraham, Vayarek et Chanichav, his kids, his
disciples,
very good. Yotzei Yerechav, the children of his, you know, of what's the word I'm looking for? Yotzei Yerechav, his children. Halchu b'drachav, they followed in his ways. Lavshud mado, they wore his clothing, his garb. And in some ways, maybe this is a little bit of a commentary. B'mei matityahu ben Yochanan kohen gadol chashmonai uvanav. The miracle of Hanukkah only came about because of the children followed in the footsteps of the father. Mm-hmm. It's great if you have a revolutionary father who's all idealistic and, you know, who's willing to fight wars, but if the next generation doesn't care, the next generation doesn't believe in the values of their father or mother, whatever it is, you have nothing. You've lost everything, right? But the Chashmonaim, what they succeeded in doing is creating a bond between the earlier generation and the later generation, and to unite the old, the new, and this is what enabled them to lead the revolt against the Ivanim. So it's a it's a beautiful piyut. And Sasha, thank you for sharing it. Really, we should get him on the website. should get that recording on the website. That was really pretty good. So do one more paragraph. We'll sing the refrain, and then we'll know. Is there one more? No.
There is.
Okay, I'm Yavan Takif, the strong Greek nation, Etzion Hitkif, who tried to attack or conquer Tzion, Jerusalem, land of Israel. Vashem Ishkif, Mishemei Kocho, Hashem looked out from his holy abode. Giborim Naflu, Utmeimu, Giborim, warriors fell. And utmeim chadlu, and those who were impure, meaning the Yevanim, they were stopped in their
tracks.
From other v'geim shaflu, those who were arrogant fell. Harav im avdo, I guess is the leader as well as his servants. Who's that referring to? Antiochus, Harav im avdo, and who won? Chalashim. The weak ones.
The underdog.
We were the underdog, right? We won. Tzadikim tzalchu. The tzadikim, what's tzalchu? To celebrate or hitzlichu. The tzadikim succeeded. That's us. Utahorim samchu. Those who were pure celebrated. Ish umachamado. Each person with his machamado is with his beloved. Bo lamigdash sharu shir chadash. They came, they entered the temple, and they sang a new song. La'el hamigdash. To their holy God, Gadol Kvodo, great is his honor. And then the last paragraph, so it's sort of going through the story of Chanukah. Utohor Shemanim, Timu Ivanim, and the pure oil or lamps, Timu Ivanim, the Ivanim, the Greeks, had defiled. Ukehal Kohanim, Chash Lihipagedo, and the congregation of Kohanim, Chash Lihipagedo, they were concerned about guarding them, I guess. Chash Lihipagedo. And they together they searched. They did a scavenger hunt, right, looking for the matzu pach nichad. They found one remaining flask of oil. Laila echad, enough sufficient for one night. Sipek levado, it alone was sufficient for all 8 days. So Sasha, let's just sing the chorus one more time, and then we'll have we'll know the tune. Then for next year, we'll be you do something three times that you have a chazakah, then you know it for it's part of you.
Oh, yeah.
we don't know what is the tune, because there are so many ways to sing the... Like, for instance, Korab Tzedek, we know that the lyrics are coming from your father, but I know three ways to sing Korab Tzedek. So with that, so with the
it's
tune...
Very,
we don't
very typical of Piyutim. Yeah, that, you know, for every song you have many, many melodies.
Yeah.
Yes, when I was in Russia, when I was there in Russia, so I want to give them back something. So I made the Gdal Elohim Chai with, you know, like with the rhyme of the Communist Party. See what I mean? You can do everything. Yes, and the Chadogi, there are so many melodies.
The original.
And they say, I'm Nehem, and this is also the...
Yeah, this is the original.
When was it written, do you know?
When
was this written?
The words, I'm not sure. Sometimes they borrow the tune.
Yeah.
No, I'm always sure that this was borrowed, yes, from other places.
Yeah, because this one, I was mentioning before, here it's written, Makam Siga Mitzri. So I was saying that... That this tune is not Moroccan.
Yeah.
This tune is Egyptian. We don't have the equivalent in Moroccan liturgy, music liturgy. Mm-hmm. And but Korab Tzedek is definitely Moroccan. Chai Goaenu is Moroccan, but this one is Egyptian.
So maybe we start.
Yes,
and
let's watch the video, and then
it will generate more
discussion.
Please
yes.
Come.
So yeah.
Please, so that,
yeah.
And do you want to play with the light something? I don't know. Maybe
everyone's welcome to
shift the light.
Whatever you want.
Yes, because otherwise.
Anyone have any questions or thoughts they want to share?
Yes, I'm here, maybe. Yeah.
This is what an unbelievable video.
It's
an
amazing video.
You
thank
have
you
a CD with all the songs of Rabbi David Zucker.
If you go on YouTube, you can listen to a Takonanta. That's the only thing I was able to find. It was in the video. It was in the video. Yeah. So do they have his recording? What do they have?
He refused to record.
You always refuse to record.
I always refuse to record. And people sometimes took some tapes and they had the recording. He had this kind, you know, once he hears that someone pressed the button, stop everything.
Yeah.
That's what they heard. They never had the recording.
Never. And people wanted to record him. People said, perhaps, there are sayings, you know, let's record him in Kippur. Even if I get half a year Gehinnom for that, it's okay.
I have a question. Just a quick question. Maybe it's a hard question, but even after he was blind, he continued to do the Chazanot, even for Yom Kippur. So he remembered the whole service.
He remembered all the service by heart. Not only that, he used to start the service by telling, don't correct me if I say something, don't correct me because the Sidurim and Meshubashim, there are problems with them. it was the prayer. You know. What's so interesting? It's not that
I need to feel at ease.
He felt the prayer, I think, in a very unique way. It's not that he remembered by heart, because if you remember, you cannot experience it and, of course, take all the kahal with you. So you have to be there. So how? Yes, so he prepared himself, and he has this phenomenal memory that he was very helpful when you become blind, mm-hmm. because he was not blind from childhood. He became blind like 40 years, when he was 40. And this memory, yeah, so he could even, he read even the parasha. And even yes, and even and it was you have to see the parasha in order to see the chova. So there was someone next to him to see that the thing is okay. But he read the parasha also by heart.
Another question: what was like a typical day for him when he was in Israel? What was a typical day when he was waking up?
In Israel or in Israel?
Let's say in Israel.
We wake up. Always visitors coming and going. Always all kinds of visitors. Okay, those who are coming for tzedakah. Okay, those who are coming, although he was poor, he will give half of his salary to tzedakah. I mean, always giving. And then the great rabbis will come, and then invitations that they will come, take him to Dimona, to Ofakim, to Tveria, and then the disciples will come to sing, and then Shabbat sometimes, it was very, very small apartment. Very small apartment. This is the whole apartment. I mean, this very, very small. Yet, I remember there as something very, very big. You have on the same table Rabbi Chaim Lucrevalli and my father and the singer. You know, and Shabbat is something. Wow, you know, it takes you very, very high. See what I mean? Very, very strong. Although very, very not very big. It's not like New York, but it's something very, very small. But the spirituality was very, very intensive. Very intensive, unforgettable. Yes.
How old were you when he passed away?
15.
Wow.
15 years old.
And how many brothers, siblings did you have?
Five. One passed away after he died, mm-hmm. and we are five. We are four now. Yeah. And the how many I can expand on it if you want, I saw this movie several times, and the more you see it, the more you can get into the more details and the gist of the others and how they express themselves. Because we don't have a movie that resembles this, all over Israel. It's very unique, okay?
It's an unbelievable.
Yes, it's very unique because we never see Moroccans, ordinary Moroccans, speaking and telling themselves and feeling good with their Arabic side. And of course, they are 100% nationalism. There is no problem about their being Jewish, but at the same time, so open to all kinds of society. It's not that there is this either or. Okay, so and a friend of mine told me, look, I always saw this Moroccan, but this guy Rafi Levi, he's always around me, but I never thought that there is someone there. Okay, because it's these. There are many things that happens in Israel. Some are good, some are less good. Okay, so this is very powerful because the fact that the silence around my father for many years, not in the inside the community. The community, of course, it knows everything and always follows everything. But the fact that in the public, it was not heard. When this comes, so it comes as a. How come we have never heard about him? See?
Yeah, I never heard of him, and I grew up with everyone around me.
Yeah. So if you didn't hear, what will the rest say? You see? So that's why, because it was like something next to nothing. Okay, then it was very powerful, and it raises a lot of emotions in people, and it's a turning point. Because it brings them the narrative. Because we had, of course, the Mizrahi singing, Ayal Golan, the Zohar Argo, all this kind of stuff, okay? Then we had Piyutim, which is very, very important and strong. But the Piyutim, in the Piyutim, of course, you hear there, and you have group singing here, and it becomes more popular. But the personality of my father is still not unknowable. Like Sari Ras could say, really, there is no Meshorer Sfaradi. She speaks sincerely. She never heard about it, okay? So, but then when it comes, it was very powerful. It was very powerful.
It is powerful. It is now. Yes, it is now these days.
What big city was in Morocco? Does everyone come?
Several, I think. Several. Yes, Emma Banim, and others also. But also used to travel around all Morocco.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, going to Meknes, going to.
Was he?
Would you say that from the process of making the documentary that you learned things about your father that you didn't know about? Was it eye-opening for you a little bit also to?
It was very important for me to hear my sisters, and especially Rahel. She said more about the film. You know, Rafael Balulu. He is the
Tabamai.
Can
the director?
Yes. The producers are Mefik, no?
Director.
The director. She's the director. As who, he said, look, I could make 200 films about Rabbi David Buzaglo. Everyone, everything will bring another aspect, okay? It's very, very one aspect, okay? You know, you saw the building where I was growing up. I mean, it looks like a catastrophe, this building. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. But for me, it has so many other aspects. You know, for me, it was life, and you know, it was completely different from the way it is portrayed here. Completely different. So I could tell you 3-5 other views to look at this building. This building was something miraculous. You see, I can tell you a lot about it, okay? So you always bring one aspect, okay? So this aspect, I think it's important aspect. He wanted something. He went to people to ask them, is there something, you know, dirty you can tell me about? He wanted to make interest, but then he gave up. He decided, okay, I will not look in order to make the opposite of the image, you know, destroy the image. So he went to ask, yeah, That's why you heard the
Viturgeman
telling you, no, I cannot say that, because he wanted to put words into their mouth. You see what I mean? But then he realized that it's strong. People will not cooperate very very easily. And I held a veto right if something goes, you know, and want to make like, you know, things like that, make it more interesting, more spicy.
You can cancel that.
I will cancel it. And thanks God, we succeeded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not
what about your mom? Did she influence the PU team?
My mom is really, she's special in her, she doesn't sing, yes, but she is very, music is very important for her, very, very important for her. Music and Arabic, especially, the Arabic language, and so...
She's still alive?
Yes, she lives with us.
Is there any...
Thanks God, Baruch Hashem.
Is there any rabbis that had any perspectives while he was alive, like Rabbanim that spoke about him? Because I didn't see that.
Yes,
so much
of course. No, he was very close to all the rabbis in Morocco, like Rabbi Shalom Assas and Rabbi Yosef Massas.
No,
and there are correspondence between them. And Rabbi.
Do you have letters? Do you have collected letters?
There are some letters. I have not collected.
Interesting to collect them and to make a.
What is so sad is that I didn't have time, not only me, to collect everything and to take his legacy and to do something out of it. I'm so busy with so many things. Sometimes even in PUT, I was working very hard on questions on PUT and developing it. But I didn't do something, I've done nothing about my father. See what I mean? It's very strange because I'm involved in this issue, but I didn't take the time to do something and to create some machon or something. Maybe the time will come when I hope there's not a share to do that, because there are also tapes that you can bring, and then you can create a sort of even a small center at the video or at the website and let others hear, because it belongs to all.
Rav Avadia, did he have a perspective or visit or talk to him?
They almost met once. They have almost met once, but no more than that. Daughter, Adina Barshalom, she saw the movie, of course.
Mm-hmm. Isn't this some kind of music? This isn't Darussi music. And Rabbi,
Rabbi,
never came.
They could, but you know, they met, I mean, we could have something very extraordinary they could meet. I mean.
So, you said that when he, when he sang in the back of Morocco, he would sing in the Beit Knesset, and the neighbors, the Arab neighbors, the Muslim neighbors would also gather and listen. Was it outside? And were there women?
The synagogue is here, and you have rings of Arabs around the synagogue wanted to hear. At the same time, the most important musicians in Morocco, in Arabic Morocco, used to come to my father because he had his, he had the whole corpus. They couldn't consult him. So they used to come to him, talk to him, Lukili, the greatest poet, the greatest Andalusian musicians. Every Shabbat and every Moed, he used to go to the radio station and broadcast their Sampiyutim, Parashat Shavua, in Morocco. Okay, so he was outside and inside the community. And when I was the Shabbat with Noam and his father, Shem Tov, so his father told me a very beautiful story. That one of the musicians in Morocco was looking for his disciple, and he looked for him for 10 days. Until he found him, he told him, "Look, I'm going to make Aliyah. But there are two instrumental pieces that you Arabs have lost. And before I'm going to make Aliyah, I would like to give it to you." See? Very, very unique story. You know, this story combines so many things. You know, this shared language. I'm not leaving you because I hate you. I know that part of my culture is your culture. We share the culture. I am also part of your memory is inside me. I'm carrying part of your memory. Okay? And before I go, I'm not going as someone who lives at a place that he hates or he, you know, not recognize the good that was there. Of course, there was also bad, but, you know, there is a karat hatov. Okay? So you want to give him something before he met the Aliyah. Very, very unique. So Jews lived in a very unique synergy there. Which I think, you know, if you those who came from the conference can understand why I see myself as I see this as potential.
This is the Haaretz conference.
Yes, exactly. So here are the friends. That's why I think that this is potential. When I wrote the letter to my brother from the Maghrib, so this is the roots. See, you can understand where I'm coming from. Okay, so I feel very secure. It's not that I'm. I don't know. I belong to a radical left, and then I have some crazy ideas. You see what I mean? I'm coming. My home was both a combination of these, and at the same time, my brother Shalom Shihyeh was very all philosophy and all mathematics and all the radical thinking and Black Panthers. Everything come from my home. Okay, so I had my father with Rabbeinu Bahya, with Piyutim, with all of these. And at the same time, I had Marxism, I had all kinds of radical thought, and then I could combine both of them. See what I mean? That's why I think it speaks to many others. And I'm sad on the one hand, because I wish now, you know, when we came to Israel, so we had, you know, communities that were for hundreds of years, lived very, you know, in Tmimut, and with Busha, with
purity,
yes, all these beautiful things that they have with Kavod, in 2 years, 5 years, everything was destroyed. You had this violence and you had this poverty. People went to drug. Women became prostitutes. In 5 years, it was like that. You see what I mean? It was unbelievable. You see, this guy, he was there. He was in Morocco in a community so you know. Thousands of years they could preserve their culture, and when they came, you had this catastrophe. This is what I say: catastrophe in so many ways, not only economy, not only because of the economy, but the spiritual aspect. Okay, so and then we had this reaction going to Shas, all these kind of of there. I don't know where I lost my
Nekuda.
Seder, but the Seder is a Barur.
No, you're...
And I'm happy. Okay. And I'm happy on the one hand that I didn't go to Yeshiva because this was the natural, and I had to look in all kind of camps. You see what I mean? There is not an ideology that I was not exposed to. Thanks God. Okay? So it was Chabad, and it was Kahana, and it was Black Panthers, and it was Hashomer HaTzair, and it was Bnei Akiva, and it was this, and it was that. You see what I mean? I was not exposed to them, but you know, later, you know, it was not a very big movement. Only later,
yeah.
See? So I'm happy for that. Because I could make this combination.
One question, Professor. In the film, didn't you talk about the details of how he taught Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Luke? Do you know anything more about that? Did he sit down with them once a week? Did they listen to him and go through that? And then the second question...
He didn't have many disciples, many students. Very few, like 5, 10, very few. He chose them very, very carefully. And very carefully, with high standards. I mean, the highest standard you can... It's not enough that you will have a beautiful voice, okay, and this kind of ideas. Everyone who came to study something, the precondition is you have to have a work. You have to have an occupation. You don't make this your work. You have to be independent, and not dependent on if someone has invited you or not. Okay? And then, look, the bakashot. The bakashot, I tell you, look, the bakashot is a corpus of like more than 500 pieces, okay, songs, okay? Now, every Shabbat has its unique bakashot, so you have to prepare it. Because you sing the song once a year. So you have to prepare the prayer, okay? So they used to come to my home, to our home, and then sit and prepare the next Shabbat. So all the Shavua, you are with the parasha. You see what I mean? And then after the parasha, after the bakashot, you speak about it all the next Shavua, what happened before. You see? And it was very, very dominant in the life of Moroccans. I mean, I say it's like football in Brazil. You see what I mean? This was the game. I mean, this was it. I mean, bakashot, piyutim, this was it. Every day, you know, in Ena Banim, every day you learn piyut. Every day you have piyut, you see? And you have makhela, and you have these intensive bakashot, 3 o'clock, three at night, you know, in the winter, people are coming without any obligation. I mean, just coming at 3 o'clock, who can come to you?
We're
going to
start
with
a
short
tier.
It's a little bit colder here, yes. But people are coming, okay? So this kind of preparing, I heard from the rabbi, one of the rabbis of Canada, perhaps the chief rabbi of Canada, who was close to my father. So he used to say that my father was, you know, preparing himself to Kippur. He came for 2 weeks preparation for Kippur. You see what I mean? What does it mean to prepare yourself for Kippur? So preparing yourself, perhaps it was even more than that. So he had to read all the Sidurim. He used to read all ways to say Seder Avodah, the Ben Ish Chai, this one and this one and this one. And then he could integrate and then decide, and he prepared long, long before. It's not that you, at the last moment, you come to the synagogue, okay, then you come, and that's what I mean? So whole preparation.
Just a follow-up question would be, do you know who his teachers were?
Rabbi Chaim Attar. Look, there was the teacher of my father. So, you know, we had a revival, one of the greatest revivals that we had. This deserved a movie in itself, okay? Was in Mogador.
Yeah.
Mogador was a beacon of piyut, okay? So, boom! It was there, 3 great paitanim that was there. And Rabbi Chaim Attar mediate and transform, in fact, from the Bakashot from Mogador to my father. When my father got it, so he become he and his group.
Wow, he didn't pass it up.
Yeah. So the link was Rabbi Chaim Attar, and he transformed the Bakashot from Mogador to my father.
What's Mogador? Is it a place?
Yes, Mogador. Yes, it's a place in Morocco.
And what about today? Maybe you could say a word or two about what's happening in the world of Pew today in Israel.
Oh, wow.
And are people creating things? Are people just...
It's one of the most important things that happens in Israeli in Israeli music and perhaps in Israeli culture. I mean, it is unbelievable. Okay, we start. There were few waves. First, we have the Andalusian orchestra from Ashdod. Before that, something was okay. And then when Avihai, an organization that I had the honor to be one of the trustees of Avihai, entered, then it made a whole, it changed the whole situation. We started this, just to give you the history of this, so we started this at the campus of the Hebrew University with students in Seudah Shlishit, and in that Seudah Shlishit, I used to be like a TV, Yaron London, okay, like a TV... facilitator or something like that.
Host,
yes. So I used to have a Python next to me, and a top thinker, a very, very important thinker in Israel, like an intellectual, the one, and we used to sit together with the students, some Mahia, some Kokohol, not a lot, but some, just to make a good spirit. And then from there, we started the whole thing. Then we had Kehilot Charot, something very, very important. And then we had the website. And the Seudah Shlishit continued into Yeridi HaShachachta when we take all the singers in Israel, the greatest singers, the most popular singers, and we have created performances, concerts where we have one singer from Israel and the Paitan. And this was very successful. And now... it changed a lot. I mean, generally, it's a dramatic change,
so
very surprising.
Do women ever sing it now? Do women ever?
Yes, of course. Now women are coming to this, and we have paitaniyot, and this is also a wave, something very new, because ordinary there are no paitaniyot. Okay, so we have now there is a film about four singers that the. See themselves as paitaniyot, like Morin Nehdar, Neta El Kayam, for example. And in this film also, Alma Zohar also appears. So, incredible.
I just want to say that the last scene you have with Maimon Cohen teaching the kids.
Nachon.
In that beautiful
scene. Mm-hmm.
Maimon Cohen, you saw him.
Many.
He is one of the great teachers of Kehilot Charot.
Yeah, young and old, Ashkenazim and Mizrahim, all of them. I mean, yeah.
Okay, final question, then we're going to eat, and if you want to continue discussing, we can.
I was very moved because it reminded me of my home,
Of course.
Not only because my grandfather also had the same story, his second wife, the same time. And I discovered all of a sudden it was amazing. Yeah. My wife was looking, like, wow, that's just how I heard it. But really what struck
today they thought is a second husband.
Something like that. The ideas behind the PU team, like the idea of, God will erase his name for the sake of peace, all those wonderful ideas. Did he speak? Beyond this, did he express them a lot, or maybe?
What is really unfortunate is the Torah of my father is something that we don't know a lot.
And
Gadol Torah.
Yeah,
he has his own Torah, and we don't know it. And this is really very sad, very sad. But from the songs you can take a lot. What's so, it's like a miracle. I mean, he made so important songs for us today. like Bilun Amordim, like the song about the Mimuna, and other songs that are crucial because they are symbolic. Very, very symbolic.
Yeah, we'll sing it this Pesach. Yeah, this is unbelievable. We'll continue. We're going to eat a little bit, but...
Shailot?
Fine.
Yeah, you said he didn't like to be recorded, but they used a number of recordings.
Very few. For disciples, I mean, he used to tape the Kaddishim for the students.
Oh, students.
So the students could practice.
Because it sounded pretty good quality.
Yeah, they worked on it. They worked on it. Yeah. And, you know, Rafael Balulu made a great movie, I think. So sensitive, and, you know, with so much talent. Because it's so easy to make it a bad movie. I mean, to take it and to take these materials. So it's very, very aesthetic and, you know, it's...
But I think it's very, honest movie
as well.
We see like all the different parts of his
ordinary
life.
Man,
and exactly
with everything, and this is what makes it, stronger, more stronger. You don't want to put him there.
One more question here.
Yeah, just one question. It's very special for me to see you over here because I took your class at Hebrew University.
No.
How are you doing in the class? How did you do?
Was it Verdugo? Yeah. I'm Israeli, but I'll ask in English. I wanted to ask you, your sister mentions the fact that you can still be in Kedusha with Yetzarim. And she mentioned that your father used to go and sing with orchestras. And it made me think about Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and the Pew Team of Spain. Alright, so today we describe your father as the last great Paitan, as being part of this lineage from Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and before, all the way to your father. Did he see him in the same light? Would he agree to this comparison? Would he accept this comparison?
I'm not sure because this is a good question. Because I'm not sure that he knows that he's, you know, closing the turning off the light or something like that, because he felt himself connected to others. Rabbi Haim Luk made also several piyutim. Rabbi David Menachem also makes piyutim.
Yeah.
Now there is a seminar we want to ask him to revive this.
I mean, just one more connection. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, not only did they both make Aliyah, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, when we studied it here, remember we had the shiurim actually here. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi struggled with the same thing.
Yeah,
that he said that he would swear off from Shirei Chol, from secular poetry, as he was traveling to Israel, which was also a religious experience for him. He was still writing secular poetry, and it was a struggle, a titanic, lifelong struggle for him as well, about how to balance these things and how to channel his passion. And
I think it has the power to. It has implications. It can carry some implications for life for us today.
Yeah,
we'd like to live in complexities. We don't want to live in this or that. We don't, you know, we want this. And there is so much flexibility and so much openness. And this is very important for us. There is either or. Either you are there or you are here. So all these kind of complexities makes it even much more stronger. More religious. It's not less religious. It's more spiritual. It's not less spiritual. At the same time, he could live with that and with this and with this. Very, very important for us. This is perhaps what we can tell also as Sephardim.
Thank the Lazarus one more time. We're going to eat a little bit and we can continue discussing. And if you want to continue, come to West Side Sephardic Synagogue every Shabbat. We, okay.